Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hells and the snails of North America. And as always, I count this a privilege. I count this an honor. I count this an esteemed joy to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. As always, we open up this show giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers that answers to many names. And we give thanks to all of our ancestors who have struggled, who have given us examples of greatness in the world, who have given us examples of leadership in the world, who have given us examples of civilization in the world, and who have allowed us to continue on and to push on. We give thanks, although the list is too long to name them all. We give thanks to those who helped us to be where we are today. And we give thanks to every single freedom fighter that has fought against this oppression that our people have suffered here in the hills and smells of America for the last 400 plus years. Giving thanks to every single regiment of the Black Panther Party. Every regiment of the Black Panther Party, and of course, giving thanks for that bold establishment that's here today, that revolutionary party that's here today, those that are pushing on in the name of all freedom fighters and all those who have struggled for us, the new Black Panther Party. And we come to you in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, 100% black man, unrelenting and uncompromising and unflinching with the enemy, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. And we will hear from his representative, his national representative, and that man who is carrying on in his tradition and carrying on in the name and carrying on with that spirit. I'm talking about the attorney at war and the warrior lawyer, our national chairman, the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, Dr. and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. So you tell a neighbor, you tell a friend, wake somebody up, push them out of the bed, get close to your phone, get close to your radio. You still have a few minutes before our national chairman takes to the airways. And so we just want to spark you up right now and let you know that it's time out for game playing. It's time out for mouth Putin and just saying what you're going to do. It's time to unite amongst ourselves and join on to your own kind. This is a very, very serious time that we're in the history of America. This is probably the most serious hour in the history of the black man and the black woman. It's also a serious time for even our enemies. That's what I'm saying, the white man and the white woman, because we have come and arrived at that point in history. Brothers and sisters, we have come to that point in history of the end of the white man's rule and domination over the darker peoples of the planet Earth. And as you look on your news screen and you listen to your radio stations, White America knows full well that it is her time to sit on down. It is her time to take her place in the dust of history, and it is time for the rise of the black man and the black woman, our rise of our nation, our rise of our culture, the rise of our ways as it was in the beginning. Her rulers, the white rulers and scholars, have known that the revolution would come. They have known that the revolution of the black man and the black woman, those who they have kept out and pushed out and left out, they know, and they knew that it would come. And they knew that it would come to this country that we live in. They knew that they could not sleep forever, that they couldn't keep us asleep forever. They knew that we wouldn't be the dry bones in the valley forever, but as it's written, that we would unite amongst ourselves, that the winds would blow, and that the waters would give life to the bones, and that we would stand up as an exceedingly great army. Well, the white man has put enough winds to us, and even the God of our forefathers and foremothers is putting wind to us, and this water, this life, this wisdom, that knowledge and that understanding, and that which you will hear from our national chairman himself, it will wake you up, it will shake you up, it will raise you up, it will pull you up, and the efforts of the new Black Panther Party will organize you together. It is the end of the white man's rule and domination over the darker peoples of the planet Earth. You have to wake up. They have been preparing for this day. They have been preparing for our rise ever since we came into the hells and smells of North America. From the moment they stole your black behind, your ancestors and my ancestors' black behinds, from our motherland and our continent of Africa, they have been preparing for the day of our rise. They have been in preparation for the day of our rise, and they have prepared a doom for all of us if we don't unite amongst ourselves. They are prepared to thwart our efforts, to overturn our efforts, to derail our efforts, to stop the unity of black people if we don't pull together and stop the bickering and stop the fussing and stop the labels and names and all this that keeps us divided and come together and unite amongst ourselves. This white man has prepared a doom for us, and they are triggering their own doom and causing their own doom by fighting against the black nation. They are triggering their own doom and causing their own destruction by fighting against the black nation. So we have come to that hour in history, brothers and sisters, where there is confusion all across the land. There's confusion in their government. There's confusion in their leadership. There's confusion in their politics. And there's even madness in their own people. They are so confused. They don't know what to do to save this sinking ship called America. And I'm here to tell you, in the spirit of the Black Power General and representing our national chairman, that you cannot save this sinking ship called America unless you give justice to the one slave, the black man and the black woman. There is no saving this sinking ship called America. That's why we're pulling you together, saying that you must unite amongst yourself. You must pull your resources together. You must prepare to build a nation of your own, because there's so much confusion and dissatisfaction in this hour that everybody is going every which way, and nobody in American government can lead you anywhere. They can't lead you to freedom. They can't lead you to truth. They can't lead you to justice. They can't lead you to harmony, because they've never had it themselves. They have never told us the truth. They have never told us what our names is. They have never told us what our language is. They have never let us know what our culture is. They have never told us our folkways and our foreways, and they've never replaced our minds, which their forefathers and foremothers stole so they could build this raggedy country. And so they can't lead you anywhere. We must now lead ourselves. We must become our own leaders and look within ourselves and become our own great individuals as we build a great nation. The madness of this government has reached its highest heights. And as it is written, that as a man soweth, and also a woman, as a man and woman soweth, that's which they will also reap. That's what's in the ancient text. As a man soweth, whatever you put in the ground or whatever you put into the world, some of you call it karma. Some of you say whatever goes around, it comes around again. As a man or woman soweth, that shall he or she also reap. And so white America and the white power structure, you don't like the seed. You don't like the seed. You don't like to see the fruits of your labor. But what is happening in the hells and smells of North America, that is the fruit of your labor. That is the harvest of the fruit that you have sown. The rebelliousness of the youth, the crime, the destruction, the filth, the debauchery, everything that is negative and every negative connotation, that is the fruit of your labor. The ignorance in America, the economic situation in America, the lack of farmers and farming and agriculture, improper health care, and us not having good health, that is the fruit of your labor. And so you don't like what you've sown. And the children of white America, you look like you're scared and you're hearts are trembling now because you don't like what your forefathers have sown. But it's not enough to look scared. You must also now work against your own white supremacist power structure. There's too many of you talking about, what about the sympathetic white man and the white woman? Your hearts are so weak. What about the sympathetic white man and white woman? If they're so sympathetic, how come they have not helped the black condition? How come they have not worked against the white power structure and them devils in power and in office that have been in rulership for over 400 years? Don't talk to us about being sympathetic. Talk to us about doing something for self. Talk to us about uniting amongst ourselves. Talk to us about helping these programs and helping the mentally dead black man and black woman who now lives in the hells and smells of North America without a place to call their own. Your hearts are greatly troubled, but your troubled hearts ain't more troubled than the black man and black woman. The yellow man is troubled, but your trouble is not more than the black man and black woman. The Latino, the brown man, all of you are troubled, but your trouble is not more than the black man and the black woman. We are the ones who are without anything here in the hells and smells of North America and even the world. Even if you go down to our brothers and sisters in Central America and South America, no matter where you go, they got more than us. At least, at the very least, many of them have their own language and they have their own culture. We're not here to even make light of the situation. We know everybody, the same dog that bit them bites us too. We know that, but we're saying that we don't have what's due to us. And we're so weak-hearted in the hells and smells of North America, many of you are too scared to even organize, too cowardly to organize. So we got to give you some strength. We got to pull you together. And what you see in the works of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and what you see in the works of the new Black Panther Party, and what you see in the Day of Action movement in our Black United Front, that is a sign and an example of the overall universal rise of the black man and black woman. If you would take that example, if you would do what you see us doing in your own neighborhoods, in your own communities, in your own civic groups, in your own organizations, in your own political affiliations, anywhere where you affect life and where you go, if you would do what you see us do, there would be change almost virtually overnight. We're not saying we have a magic wand. We're not saying we're Superman and Superwoman, but we are saying that we come in a tradition of struggle. We come in a continuum of struggle. That's what I'm saying. When you see Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, he comes in a continuum of struggle. When you talk about all the freedom fighters, and we give thanks to all the ancestors and those who have paved the way, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, his name, his spirit, his legacy, his person, it comes in a continuum of struggle. And so what he's doing, he's trying to ignite a fire in you. I'm trying to ignite a fire in you so that we can connect to the continuum of struggle and overthrow the conditions that are on us today. There are dark clouds of war hanging over every part of the planet Earth and America. The dark clouds of war hanging over every part of the planet Earth and right here in the hells and smells of North America. Everywhere is involved in war. Everything on the planet Earth is involved in war. China looking at the West ready for war. Africa looking at the West ready for war. Hell, every country you can think of that has any sense is ready for some war. And hell, we have to declare what we're going to do in this battle today. We got to figure out what we're going to do, whether you're talking about a violent revolution or what you're talking about. You got to figure out what you're going to do. If you are the one who has been kept out the most, if you are the one who has been Jim Crow, if you are the one who has been called three-fifths of a human being, if you are the one who has not got 40 acres, a mule, not a hammer, not a screwdriver, not a pile driver, you ain't got nothing. If you are the one who doesn't have anything, you got to figure out what you're going to do in this war today. if everybody else is getting theirs and going for theirs in Central and South America, and all of those who are rising up against the colonialists and the robbers and those who have taken their land, you got to get yours back. The black man and the black woman, you are the original man and the original woman. You are the first and the foremost. You are the beginning, and if there's an end, you are that end. And so you got to figure out what your stake is in this. You got to stop being so weak, and we got to stop being so weak and giving a way for everybody else to get theirs and us not get ours. That's what we're talking about with this Day of Action movement. We're talking about organizing to overthrow that which the white man and white woman, those in power, have put on us. Some of you, you don't like that. Some of you, you're so tenderhearted, but the fact remains you are the last at everything. But as it is written, that which is last, it will be first. That which is last, it will be first. And that which is first will be last. Why would you put that in the ancient text, black man and black woman, if you did not know you were going to be last? Why would you put that in the ancient writings if you didn't know somebody was going to be on top of you that you had to dethrone? You cannot have black power and white power operating in the same space. If the law of science and the laws tell you that two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time, you can't have black power and white power at the same space in the same time. That's when they went to Africa. That's why when they went to our mother country, our mother continent, when they went there, they carved out the black nose. They took out the black woman. They took out our deities. They robbed from our libraries. They took our books. They took our knowledge. Everything that pointed you to yourself, those white men, that white European, they took it away from you. And so now you're trapped and stacked here in the hills of North America without direction. You're like a man or woman in the middle of the sea without a compass. You're a man and woman in the middle of a sea without a map. You don't know which way to go. And everywhere you look and everywhere you turn, there's white influence, white power structure, white supremacy, brutality, murder, savagery on your east, west, north, and your south. And we're all looking for an answer today. And so by the grace of God and by the grace of the help of our ancestors, we hope to give you a direction today. We hope that by with the spirit of our black power general, the guidance of our black power general, and with the guidance of our national chairman, we're here to tell you which direction to go today. If you would just look in your ancient text and you look within that which your forefathers and foremothers left you, if you would look in that which the freedom fighters have left you and those who have paved the way for us, and stop looking to your oppressor and your colonizer to tell you which way to go, you can find a way up out of this. We must separate from our enemies. We must have, as the Black Power General say, revolution as the only solution. You must begin to take some serious steps, and we have to take some real steps to get some real freedom. Because as the world turns, as the time clicks, and as things go on, this thing gets deeper and deeper. And now that there's war hanging over in the Middle East, and there's war hanging preparing to hit the U.S., and there's war preparing to hit every single point of this planet we call Earth, there's a raging fire that's burning, not a physical fire. We're talking about a spiritual and moral fire that's burning for a true change in the black man and black woman. When you have a fire, all you need is a strong wind. All you need is a strong wind, a strong gust that comes along and it makes that strong fire a raging inferno. Black man and black woman, all you need is a strong wind to come along. All you need is a strong gust to come along. A few weeks ago, you had Hurricane Irene, a strong wind that made revolution up the East Coast. All you need is this strong wind that's going to come from our national chairman and let him blow the winds of truth on you as you will become a raging inferno. All you need is that strong wind of organization, that strong wind of unity, that strong wind of harmony, that strong wind of love, that strong wind of peace, that strong wind of contentment and freedom, and you will become a raging inferno. So in this serious hour, you have to now know your role, black man and black woman. You have to know what your role is, black man and black woman, and know it as you're dealing in the white man's economy. And you want to declare independence from the white man. You have to remember, brothers and sisters, that you have to declare your own independence. I know some of you are running around crying crocodile tears for 9/11, but you must now cry tears for yourself and organize for yourself. So, dear brothers and sisters, without any further delay, help me to bring to our radio station, if you're then able to clap with a warm round of applause, If you're there listening with the mighty Black Power and give him your full attention, this is our national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power.
Black Power. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, brother chairman.
All right,
yes,
I know
sir.
I'm talking with this earpiece, so I have to make sure that I speak up so that I'm heard, because I'm talking over a cell phone with an earpiece. So can I be heard clearly?
Yes, sir, you can be heard just fine, brother chairman.
All right, then I'm going to give honor to God and bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, that there is but one God. And I want to thank you, Minister Sean Kwali, for opening up the radio broadcast of Black Power Radio, which is one of the most progressive and liberating and revolutionary radio programs in the black nation. And while I want to thank the ancestors, all of them, for coming and for giving us a foundation for the work that we must do today, and so I want to thank all of them, whether they were rulers in ancient Kemet or whether they were fighting out of the oppression of the white man, whether they were Akhenaten or Hatshepsut, or whether it was Yah Asantewa or Queen Nzinga, or Stephen Biko or Patrice Lumumba or Sobukwe or Nat Turner or Dessalines or Boukman, all of those who have come to us in the line of divine, Sister Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Hannibal. We call on the ancestors all the way through Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Malcolm X, even Dr. King, Rosa Parks, Sister Fannie Lou Hamer, and the members of the original Black Party for Self-Defense, Baba Kwame Ture, Brother Stokely Carmichael, Brother Huey, Comrade Huey P. Newton, Baba Eldridge Cleaver, all of them who have gone before us, our saints, our martyrs, and any names of those that I may have missed, certainly Dr. Clark, certainly Ishaka Musa Bar Shango, certainly Amari Obadeli, and certainly a bold, bald-headed black man, a teacher and mentor who came before us and laid a solid trail of freedom and liberation and a strong stance against the enemy. I speak of none other than my mentor and my big brother and our Black Power General, Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. His sisters and brothers are on the radio line here. This is your brother, Chairman and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. I'm not going to preach a lecture tonight. I'm going to take questions from the audience and see if we can make sense out of that which is called the liberation movement. I want us to be able to open up and to ask questions and to see where the future of black people is headed. Where is the future of the movement headed? What is it that can be done? Where is Al Sharpton? Where is he? And can we count on him? And should you be counting on him? And if you think you should be counting on him, can you count on him in the way that you think that you can or could have, if that's even on your radar? We want to answer these questions tonight. What is it is doing? What is the New Black Panther Party doing? Is the New Black Panther Party any kind of hope for the liberation of black people, for our movement? What are they doing? What is the platform of the Black Panthers? What are they about? Who is Malik Zulu Shabazz? Who is King Samir Shabazz? Who are these brothers and sisters? Who is Ayera? Iotunde. Who are these brothers and sisters out here that say that they claim the legacy of the Black Panther Party? Are they real Black Panthers? Do they have the legacy of Huey P. Newton and the great Panthers that have come before us? Or are they making a mockery and a fraud of the legacy of the Black Panther Party? I want to hear from you tonight. You don't have to be in our Amen corner tonight to come on this radio broadcast. And we don't want to intimidate you so that you won't be able to step up and ask your constructive question. If you are respectful to us tonight, we will be respectful to you, even if you disagree with us. But certainly we must have dialogue in the Black nation. We must have dialogue. We want to know where we're headed. Where are the Black Muslims headed? Where is the Nation of Islam headed? Where is Minister Louis Farrakhan headed? Where is Silas Muhammad headed? Where is the 5% Nation of Gods and Earth headed? Where is Dr. Wesley Muhammad headed? Where is Dr. Leonard Jeffries headed? Where are the Black Nationalists? Where are the Pan-Africans? What happened to Public Enemy? What happened to the poor righteous teachers? What happened to the student revolutionary? Well, I got to take a 1-minute call. Step right in, Brother National Spokesman. I'll be back in a moment. Step right in for 1 second, sir.
Yes, sir. Brother Chairman, handle your business. We'll be here. Brothers and sisters, those of you that are listening, the number is 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. We are doing a live Q&A. You don't get opportunities like this every day. What national leader do you know that regularly opens themselves up to be grilled, questioned, put on the hot seat, put on the fence if you can, by anybody? This Black man is open up to your questions, for constructive questions, constructive criticisms, whatever you got. 646-478-4447. Go right ahead, sir.
All right. Yes, I might have to just stand by. I know you have to make a move at 9 o'clock, but if you have to leave
I'm here, Brother Chairman. I'm here for the whole show.
Sisters, bear with us in the radio listening audience, because we're also at work. And sometimes calls are so critical, we can't miss these calls, as we are live online revolutionaries here. This is not a revolution here inside of this radio broadcast that comes from the new Black Panther Party and from our United Front and from our Black Power movement. This is not where we just theorize or we talk about subjects. This is not just where we teach on research. This is not just where we discuss current events. We live the life of that which is reported on. When the white man and the enemies of America today, when they write and they report on who their enemies are today, they speak of the new Black Panther Party. We have real live, living enemies, because we are live online revolutionaries doing that which many others are just either reading about or talking about. We'll get to that in the question and answer session, but we want to be opened up to questions. Again, as I was saying, are we true Black Panthers or are we fake Black Panthers? Are we a shame or disgrace to the legacy of the Black Panther Party? Or have we actually taken a bold step and done that which history has called us to do, and that common sense would tell us not to do, and respected the Black Panther Party? Again, where is the Black Muslim movement headed? Those that follow Louis Farrakhan headed? Where is the those that follow Honorable Silas Muhammad headed? Where is the Malcolm X grassroots movement headed? Is the RNA still alive? Isn't Cobra still alive? What is Chokwe Lumumba and those that follow behind him, his revolutionary legacy in this hour? Can black people unite? Can the black nationalists form what old J. Edgar Hoover said was a Mau Mau? Can they get together or will they fight it out? Huh?
Teach.
Will General Sultan Seti line up with his brothers and sisters in the they fight like cats and dogs. I want to talk to you tonight about the future of the liberation movement of black people. So that every time you hear us saying that we're doing something or we're calling for a day of action, every time you hear us making a move in this hour, you will understand the context of what we're doing and why we're doing and what is our ultimate motive and objective. And we have to be honest with you, our main objective in anything and everything we do is to fulfill our divine mission, which is the rise of the black world and the fall and the demise of the wickedness and evil of a white world that has destroyed our people and committed the worst Holocaust that has ever been committed against any people at any time. And so we want to know where the future of the movement is. We want to know, where is that spirit that was there in the Million Man March? Is that spirit still alive? Is that spirit that was there in the Million Woman March and black women saying that they were going to unite across this nation, is it still alive? We want to know, is that spirit of the Million Youth March still alive? Millions More Movement. Whatever happened to the Millions More Movement? That's a heck of a question that should come on this phone line tonight. It's 8:30. I said I wouldn't preach, and I said my subject. As we talk about what I have just announced, I asked on the Facebook page today, I said, have you given up hope on the black cause? Have you become overwhelmed with doubt or dissatisfaction? Have you adopted the position that niggas are crazy and they will never rise? And so that's tonight what we want to talk about. Have we considered everything and every organization and every leader that I've said? Have you heard all of that and seen all of that? And have you seen Khalid Muhammad and all of those greats that I named, the ancestors that have come before? And have you just thrown your hands up and said, these niggas is not going to work and this movement ain't going to work and I give up? We want to talk to you and counsel you tonight and bring you into therapy tonight to try to get your mind right and even get your behind right. Right, because this right here is where the rubber meets the road. This is the history that is being written in this hour. I'll save all that for the question and answer session. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to be asked and put on the chopping block tonight. Ask me about the National and International Day of Action and Unity. What is this Day of Action and Unity? You say demonstrations don't work. If that's you out there who say that, come on the phone line and ask your question. And let's talk like brothers and sisters and let's see if your position is correct. If you say boycotts or blackouts of non-black businesses, if you say that don't work, then bring that to the question and answer session tonight. Call every code 646-478-4447. Bring that on. If you say a nation of our own and a separate nation is not the way and that'll never work, then come on and bring that. And saying being and integrating into America and accepting and trying to do better here in America is the best position, then bring that. Then bring your perspective on the line tonight. If you say it's all about Africa, it ain't got nothing to do with America, then the only solution is to pack our bags right now and to go to Africa and land in Africa right now, right this very second. Oh, there are those that think like that. And we want you to bring your position on the line tonight. And we want to see where we're going as a people, where we can make sense out of this. And certainly we have answers to offer. Okay, and so with all that being said, why are you sending clothes to Africa? Why are you the New Black Panther Party? And why is this United Front? Why are you all pushing this Tubi Express? Why are you sending clothes to kids in Africa? Hell, people that need it here in America. Why are you going to send it to Africa? That's your question tonight. Come on, dear sister and brother. Bring on, come on the phone line. And let's have a conversation tonight and find why the United Front, which has come out of the Day of Action, why is this United Front of black people developing and doing projects like sending clothes to Africa? That's a good question tonight to ask. Why would you, Attorney Shabazz, keep harassing us about these ministries? I wish you would shut up about these goddamn ministries. Some of you think like that. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to shut up about these blessed and divine ministries. And they are not religious. Ask me, is this, when we say in the ministry of Pan-Africanism and the ministry of agriculture and the projects that we are pushing, ask me, is this a religious ministry or is a ministry a form of government that we have not have and must have? Ask me, am I out of my mind for envisioning a black government of our own, a nation within a nation, to support our mother nation in Africa? Ask me, am I out of my mind or I'm just a goddamn dinosaur from the 1960s, and I need to give up the pipe dream of black nationalism and Pan-Africanism and black people working together and an all-black agenda and a hard stance against the devil and the beast, our enemy? Ask me, am I just a relic of the past? Am I in the mold of Malcolm X, or am I goddamn Tyrannosaurus Rex? I mean, this is real, man. Let's open up the phone line. Ask me, am I a fool for asking us to deal with agriculture and the land and picking some peas and some cotton? You say, I got out of slavery. I don't want to see no damn agriculture, no land, and no farming. I just need to be put on the spot for all of this. But are we too radical? Why are we so radical? We ain't radical enough. All of you are out there. Let's open up the phone line.
All right. Yes, sir. We're ready for you. All right. 973-280. You're on the air with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman. Give us your question, please. 973-280. You're on live. Your question, please.
Oh, Black Power, I didn't have a question. Really, I just want to congratulate our national chairman for doing a wonderful job for the black nation and the new Black Panther Party for self-defense in particular.
All right. Well, thank you so much, brother, for a word of encouragement. That does mean something.
All right. 803-709, you're on the air with our national chairman. Give us your question, please.
Hello. I don't have a position or anything, but I do have a question. My question is, do you feel that there are entities within the community, one being hip-hop, that at least I feel is fueling resistance and also behavior that's making it harder for you to reach a certain age group? And if so, what do you think is best to be able to break down that wall?
I think you're asking the question, is hip-hop responsible for leading our youth in the wrong direction? And how could we counter
that? Something like that. Even though, you know, I don't necessarily want to blame them, but it is a culture within a culture that is making it harder to reach people like me, my age group. And I think they will be a vital part, you know, to your movement. You know, as far as recruiting, at least I feel that way.
Yes. And you have touched, ma'am, on the most important of subjects that even I didn't touch on in my opening, and that is specifically our youth. And we're talking about the dominant effect on the culture and the mind of our youth, which is the music and our culture of hip-hop and rap music. And certainly as one who comes from the background of the hip-hop nation and the early disciple and follower of the Zulu Nation, and also a DJ in the B-Boy era at Howard University, certainly I am passionate and favorable to hip-hop. And even though rap music and hip-hop today has changed from when I was introduced to it in the days of Eric B. and Rakim and Big Daddy Kane and the Poor Righteous Teachers and Public Enemy, Tupac and others, still today I honestly have to say I don't have any animosity. I don't, at least. I don't have any animosity to look towards Lil Wayne. I really, at this point in time, don't have any animosity towards Rick Ross. I don't have any animosity towards 50 Cent, even though in their music, many times, they are promoting a culture of death. I know ultimately that they are not responsible for this culture of death. The one who is responsible for this culture of death, Rick Ross and Lil Wayne and others really have yet to truly learn until they can be reached. And I do believe that they can be reached, just like I believe that this generation can be reached. What am I saying? I'm saying, ma'am, until this movement that we are speaking about and a part of is made relevant to the youth, and attracts the youth and affects the youth, number one, the movement is finished because it will never be transferred to another generation. Number two, a generation will be lost because the wisdom and the knowledge that we have on this phone line and those that are listening here have not been collectively organized and pooled so that we can make an impact on the rap industry, make an impact on the streets in the way that we could, make an impact on these wicked CEOs of the six major whites and Caucasian Zionists that run the record business and that really are the puppeteers behind the strategy that ultimately ends up in a black man rapping that cocaine and selling eight balls is the way out and is the progressive way forward for our people. Can you dig what I'm saying? I'm smoking dope. I'm on my cell phone. I'm selling dope straight off the iPhone. Now, we cannot afford to give up on this generation or turn on ourselves and generational welfare. What we got to do is what I'm doing. I'm not even going to say. I'm changing my language. I'm out of saying what we got to do. I'm talking about what we are doing. And certainly right now, ma'am, on this phone, there is hope. There is good news from in this movement, from the new Black Panther Party, and from the United Front. Because we've been working all year with you and young people. One thing I can say here is that the new Black Panther Party does have the young people and influence amongst the young people in the hip-hop generation. And so what I'm trying to do right, ma'am, right now is to call all of those that are on this line here and that are listening into a ministry of youth development where we bring all of the best youth activists and organizers together so that we can form a united front in the field of the work that is done amongst our youth, then we can leverage that movement against what we don't like about the hip-hop industry, and in love we can leverage it with brothers and sisters, the rappers, and with Cash Money and Young Money and T.I. and all of them. I can tell you because myself and Brother Hashim and Zynga, we are inside of the rap business, see? We're not foreign to it. We're not like some corny critics that are sitting back. We were helped and were security and managers for Pimp C when he was alive. And Bun B is close to us now. T.I. come out. job to our chief of staff, Hashim Nzinga Schools, to do speeches for the PTA, which he is the president of in Atlanta. We know the rappers, and I can tell you that the rappers like and love the movement. But it is this sin-sick world that is so appealing and so financially rewarding. And it is the weakness in our movement that keeps us from getting ahead from where I see it. And so all I'm saying, man, is for those that want to be a part of this kind of work, what kind of work? Let me show you how we're already getting started. There's a Christian pastor, a young man, by the name of Pastor Ted Sutton, who is in Baltimore, Maryland. He is not in the new Black Panther Party. He is the son of a Baltimore pastor who is the head of the Church of God in Christ on Denmore in Baltimore. And he is the head of two organizations. One is a youth group called the Strong Brothers Alliance, and he is also the head of the Ministers of Defense, a group of Christian clergy that have gotten together in Baltimore decided that they would defend their community as black men.
Mm-hmm.
He's also my cousin. But he is a part of this ministry. He is a part of this coalition. He is going to be here in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. There's a young man named Silky Slim from Baton Rouge. I'm flying him in here Saturday to Washington, D.C. He has a manual and videos that are nationwide relating to stopping the killing of black men, and has a book that needs to be in all public schools that is out and selling well now, but it needs further exposure. It is a manual and a code against the killing and subculture of violence. He's very popular down there in New Orleans. This weekend in Washington, we have a big conference. This conference is called, it's a Black Male Survival Conference of Countering the Conspiracy to Kill Black Men and Rites of Passage for Black Boys. I'm telling you what this ministry is doing, this youth ministry and this men's ministry. It is about different brothers and sisters. And I'm going to take the next question in a minute. But this is right now, and you could be a part of it too, sister.
Okay.
These are experts, those that are leaders in the field of gangs, of being of violence, and hip-hop, and all of that. What we're doing right now is trying to bring all of us together in a united front just to help our youth. And we feel that this is a way that we can leverage that into some results.
You are based mostly, I hear you say, Washington, D.C. and in the upper area. How about Atlanta and South Carolina down in the south?
Yes, ma'am. That's an excellent question. The man that I just named to you, first of all, that we are here, we are national organizers, and we've been doing this for several decades. My track record, ma'am, is I have crisscrossed the country for the last 15 years. And been able, by doing that, following in the footsteps of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who set that kind of pattern for me. And so I have been able not only to build up the new Black Panther Party across America and across the world through travel, but I also have been blessed with a cadre of sisters and brothers who I'm working with all over the country. So in Atlanta, man, I was just in Atlanta for our last day of action. And all of the rappers that I just told you about, mainly they are based in Atlanta. And we have operations in Atlanta. On our National and International Day of Action this October 1st, we have a big event in Atlanta at Morehouse College.
Okay.
This is something you can come out to and the youth can come out to. And this is where, on October 1st, we will be in 40 cities. You know what I'm saying? We are in 40 cities all at the same time on the same day, sponsoring major programs and efforts to help our people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the white media has suppressed this. and they have tried to keep this and probably will continue to keep this out of the limelight. But I would like to hip you, ma'am, to what is going on, because if you link in to what we're doing here, you will have a new sense of hope that our people can be saved and that our youth can be reached.
And that's a good thing.
Okay? So I'm going to take some more callers. I would like you to tune in, ma'am. Stay tuned to the website, which is dayofactionmovement.org. Tune in to newblackpanther.com. newblackpanther.com, dayofactionmovement.org. And even keep an eye on this one. It's called UnitedBlackFront.org.
Okay.
And if you will link up in this United Front that we're trying to build, man, unity amongst our people, and if you believe in helping save our youth, you're going to be happy with the work that we do together.
Okay, because I can put myself in there and say you too. Okay, thank you.
What'd you say?
No, I say I'm pulling my. I have to say me too. I'm jumping in.
Good. You come on in, ma'am. And look, my email. Let me give you my email. If you're serious about really working, I'm looking for laborers or brothers and sisters that really want to make things happen and are professional and know how to make things happen and that have big vision.
You're my Facebook friend. I'm on your Facebook friend.
Hey, what's your name, sister?
Teresa Sims.
Teresa Sims. Oh, the one and only. Okay. That's great. Well, just continue to listen in then. And I'm hoping I should be in Atlanta the day after. I should be in Atlanta on October 2nd. And something is being set up now at Morehouse College. I come on October the 1st. I'm in New York because I am there for a big rally for our campaign, the Tuba Express, the shoes, clothing, and school supply drive to Africa. I keynote that on our Day of Action, October 1st, with Dr. Leonard Jeffries and the New York Revolutionary Councilman Charles Barron. And then I fly into Atlanta on the 2nd for the Day of Action weekend. Then they have a whole weekend in Atlanta. So stay tuned, Queen, and somehow, some way, I believe that you are going to be a part of this movement, all right?
Okay, peace.
And black power. All right. Let's bring on some more callers. I'm going to try to shorten my answers. I know I'm long-winded, but I'm trying
to. Yes, sir. We're getting fired up.
Let's go. Let's roll.
All right. 404-749. You're on the air with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Your question, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Brother Chairman.
Yes.
Brother Sherman, I know I'm in a call right now, so it's kind of north. First, let me address to the sister in Atlanta. Feel free to get her. This is Brother Yang at Kuma. Feel free to get her, brother, any information, contact information she needs down here for Brother Chairman Wendy or whatever. We up and running from the Panthers Fund, the Youth for Peace and Empowerment, Panther Education Classes, so we got study groups going on down here. Atlanta, we're moving. The question I have for Brother Chairman, Zulu Shabazz, is Brother Chairman, we talk about the United Front. What role exactly does the New Black Panther Party play in that?
Well, to be straight up about it, brother, we are the foundation of it. And for most of this year, I have tried not to overplay the role of the New Black Panther Party, because when you're trying to build a united front, you don't want everyone to believe that you're just recruiting for your organization. And so I have, even as the chairman of the New Black Panther Party, have spoken up more for the United Front even than my own organization. But that is for sound reason. It is because, number one, I know that we have leadership in the New Black Panther Party and a central committee, and we have emerging leaders like yourself that are more than capable of representing the New Black Panther Party. And I know that my role is evolving into being able to work with all of the people that I know and that we know and that respect my work and our work and respect the work of Khalid Abdul Muhammad, I know that the ancestors and God have been calling me to help them to work for our goal of black nationalism. And so I have to, so the answer really, brother, is that we are the foundation. The Panther Party is the foundation of the Day of Action. I mean, I have to be honest. But we have made a broad call and have bent over backwards to work with all members of other organizations feel about the majority and the strength behind the Day of Actions and the soldiers that went to the streets and made those events happen. Many of them and most of them were from the New Black Panther Party, working in unity with other local United Fronts in the black community. So, my dear brother, you don't want to be chauvinistic about it or arrogant about it. You want to be humble about it. But the fact of the matter is we're being called to a great mission in this hour, and that is to organize all of these cities all over America. And you're a great example. You tie right into the first set of callers because those that don't know you don't know that Brother Yanga is the kind of member of the New Black Panther Party that has a good attraction amongst black youth. And that those that are that he is able to recruit and to work with, many of them are 16 years old, 17 years old, some of them 18, 19 years old. And so the New Black Panther Party is represented in a variety of ways. That those that will come out on the Day of Action in Atlanta on October 1st will be able to see. And so, Brother Yanga, yes, I am behind. I'm really, to be honest, I'm the convener of the United Front and the convener of the International Day of Action and Unity. But I have forbid myself to be called the convener of the United Front and the convener of the Day of Action, because this is something where I'm not trying to build up myself or my leadership reputation. This is something, a service that I'm trying to perform for the black nation. And for many of those that don't necessarily see the end results of it, steadily but surely, we're starting to convince them that we are on the right path. And though it may not be done in a day, it may not be done in just a year, if we stay on this path, young brothers, and for those that have been listening, and we fight hard and stay on this path, soon come 1 year time from the first Day of Action on April 23rd, you will see 1 year from then, you will see the seeds of a nation that we're building. Then you will see this national and international youth ministry that young man like you can be a part of. And these brothers like the man I'm just talking about, the ones that's coming here for this conference. I wish I had you two here, brother. But the good news is this conference here, like in D.C., is for black men only and for young black boys. But this is something that we're trying to set up all over the nation. You know, this is something that we need in Atlanta on October 16th, the Million Man March anniversary. We're sponsoring special conferences for black men and black youth, black men only on that day. You know, I got so much going here, I don't want to just take the spotlight off October 1st, but I have to let people here know what we're doing. But the reason why I couldn't even be with you, Brother Yanga, October 16th in Atlanta, if we agree we're going to do that, and I think we should. I'm talking about all black men from Atlanta and black youth. Come. Sorry, sisters, we love you. We honor you. But you will not be allowed in the meeting on that day. We love and honor our sisters. But right here in this meeting this Saturday in Washington, D.C., Black Men's Only Conference, no sisters are allowed in. We have to have some time to talk to our youth. But I'm saying the reason why I won't even be able to be there with you, Brother Yang, is because I'm doing one in New York on the same day, and Brother King Samir is sponsoring one in Philly. And I know Minister Shaw ain't going to sit up here and let us do that and be left behind.
No,
what
sir.
Are you saying, Attorney Malik Shabazz? Why are you having all these damn rallies at one time? Nigga, is you crazy? No, I have understood something, dear sisters and brothers, that we can't just depend on one man anymore. And that we have to grow up and we have to train other leaders and give other leaders a chance. Yes, it's got to be rules and it's got to be guidelines, but goddammit, leadership in the black community can't be harder than passing the 33rd degree of masonry. And so I'm doing like I was taught to do. Khalid Muhammad gave me a chance. He gave all the outlaws a chance, the rebels a chance. And so now all of those that want to help our community, we're trying to turn you loose in Atlanta and North Carolina and South Carolina and Philly and all over the world, really, as we're doing for this day of action, trying to stand up and turn leadership loose so that we may make a new generation. I could get on. Let me take another call, brother. Love you, brother Yanga, and push, man. Don't let nothing stop you from rising to the top as we unite in Atlanta. Build that Panther Party up strong and build that United Front up strong. And if your rhythm and your way is best with the youth and the rappers, then stay in your lane, God. And if another one's rhythm is better with other types of organizations, let him stay in his lane. And my job is to try to bring some sense, to make some sense out of all of it so that we can unite as a black nation. I'll take the next caller.
Yes, sir. This question comes from the chat room. They want to know if the new Black Panther Party has a women's program, and if so, how can she join and be a part of the women's program? That's question one.
That is the awesome question. Does the new Black Panther Party have a women's program? I would have to say, yes, of course we do, sister, but it's just developing. Right now, our women's efforts are coming together around a group of queens, some who are in the Panther Party, and some who are not, but they are cold-blooded African warrior queen, conscious black goddesses, revolutionaries, and sisters that are in our community and in our nation. Some of those are in the Panther Party, and some are not, and certainly are in the very near future. If you will follow our websites, newblackpanther.org, and dayofactionmovement.com or dayofactionmovement.org and newblackpanther.com and also Black United Front, unitedblackfront.org, you should see the beginning work of a women's ministry like you are seeing the beginnings work of our men's ministry. And so for our critics who say that we're just, that demonstration don't work, which you're wrong about, or town hall meeting don't work, educating our people don't work. See, at the same time, we shut you down by showing you we are building a structure now that has only been talked about in the black nation but have never been built, and steadily but surely we're grinding away and building it. Now, the men's ministry work has begun with the convening of all men's ministries. The men's ministries and the youth ministries have combined and are producing these conferences. And in these conferences, I'll fight you if you tell me that the information is not valuable and relevant to the men that will be there, and the sisters, as soon as they desire, should follow suit. You see, some of our sisters were talking about doing a retreat where all of the sisters were going to get together and go for a reasonable fare fee, very small, to the Poconos Mountains for a retreat. And that was supposed to be the beginning of that work, and that should go back on the drawing board. Sisters need to have activities and teachings and conferences and programs and a schedule and an agenda of their own. At the same time, they work inside a common movement where gender don't even matter, with sisters and brothers fighting together. That's what we do all the time. And sometimes we split off because the black man needs special attention and the black woman does too. At our men's conference this week, what will we be doing? We will be testing for high blood pressure. We will have some nurses, people with LPN or RN capability that are able to give out health advice on the scene. We will be have prostate testing on the scene, and we're still working on it now. There may perhaps even be confidential HIV testing on the scene. The possibility is there. There will be workshops on the rites of passage for young black boys. This is something that we need to have called the rites of passage for young black girls. And this session will focus strictly in on mentoring young brothers and sisters that we're now in out here on the streets trying to pull from the hood into the room who don't have daddies, who don't have fathers, that have never seen a room of strong black men together. This is a valuable opportunity coming this Saturday. I was in a barbershop, and I seen a sister take a five-year-old boy and tell him, bring your bitch ass over here, nigga, in front of the whole barbershop. Man, that hurt me. That hurt me to see that young man go through that and to even see that sister who obviously had been robbed, deaf, dumb, and blind to do that. But I know that that young man there, we can only reach him. And so that's what this workshop is about, man. It's about a work that will really go after our baby. And we're going after our baby. We have lawyers that are coming to this conference here. My friends and allies and Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Donald Temple and others that will give out legal advice and help brothers with child custody cases and other matters dealing to their criminal background with employment that sometimes inhibit them from getting a job. We will have brothers that have sold dope, sold crack, killed in the black community, straight up gangsters that will be in a room in divine brotherhood and love and unity working in this men's ministry. And I will also be part of the panel in the town hall meeting that evening. My dear sisters and all the black queens and goddesses that are listening, you should support the black man as he tries to do this work. And when you hear us calling here, don't resist us. Don't think that we're trying to do some macho male supremacist work. You must know that your brother, our attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, is not a male supremacist. We're doing all of this work so the black woman can stand on our back. So we can get down on our knees and our hands, and the black woman, our queen, our goddesses, can stand on our back, and we get down in the dirt, nose to nose with this cracker, and take our queen out of harm's way so she can be high up in the light of understanding, so she can teach our babies, so she can think, she can organize, she can plan, free from harassment from this devil on the ground. We got to clear the goddamn ground and make a way. But come on, sisters, if you want a women's ministry, we'll work double time so you can have women's only conferences. I would tell you right now, have a black women's only meetings on the day of October 5th, 16th, Sunday with me. But I'm afraid somebody might get mad at me and say he's going too far. He's now calling for action on the Million Woman March anniversary. You know? But sister, I believe if you can achieve it, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. So if you want to see this kind of work done, I got sisters that I work with, and all bold, cold sisters. They just need to be organized. They just need help. In all of these cities, in New Jersey, and Newark, and New York, and St. Louis, and Midland, Texas, and Selma, and Jacksonville, and Atlanta, we got sisters working all over, but we need more. And so I would say, still, you should, I'm going to give you a text, and she may be mad for me giving out this text, but I'm going to give out this text. And it's 314-327-5222. 314-327-5222. And you contact our national assistant in her office, and certainly she wants to talk and will take your numbers down and would love to help where you work in the women's ministry of a united front for Queens in the new Black Panther Party, the Black Muslim movement, the church, the nationalist movement, just mothers. Ain't in no organization. They just mothers. They just sisters trying to make it. You know? They just sisters just up off. She's a blood. She's a crimp. She's just trying to make it and understand life. We can bring a movement together. Now is the time, and these are where the true believers in a Black movement live. I take the next question.
Okay, yes, sir. There's a second half to that. She just want to know, is there an age limit that she has to be a Muslim? That's the last part of that.
There is no age limit, sister. We have to start, Fox, to reach young, our babies. We have to reach them as soon as they are born, almost. And so this work of a women's ministry, which must begin, I would just say to contact us, sister, and I can't answer all the questions. That's what I can only give some set some parameters and put some fertilizer in the ground. But it is really up to the sisters that will be bringing this forward. And God may be calling you to be one of them. And so if you don't get through on that number I gave you, you can still ask me. I can still help to coordinate it by just emailing me at shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com. If you email me at shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com and you are interested in a women's ministry that will help teach our girls, our babies, the knowledge of themselves and their righteous role in society, a knowledge of the history and the role of the Black woman, respect for the Black man, and enlightenment about all the affairs of the Black nation, email me at shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com, and certainly we can make seeds plant in the ground out of sight shoot up to a root that can be seen in the light in the near future. I'll take the next question.
Okay, caller 304-365, you're on the air with the National Chairman, New Black Panther Party. Give us your question, please.
Peace, Brother Malik and Brother Sean. This is John Kimmins Shabazz out of Morgantown, West Virginia. Question that I do have for the tournament is African-American mental health care. I'm seeking a professional in this area or in this region. And I'm wondering that if the chairman could give me a reference to somebody African-American that specializes in bipolar disorder, specifically with Black women.
Brother, that is such a profound question you have raised. And although I don't have a specific referral in your state for a Black mental health professional, a psychologist or even a clinical psychiatrist, what I can do is address. I can still try to help you, though, you know, Brother John. For those who don't know, this is the hard-working, hard-driving John Kimmins Shabazz from Morgantown, West Virginia. And he is a good friend of mine and a man that always is well and received in my heart, because in the year 2007, when we went to defend the Black woman and our Black youth, Sister Megan Williams, who those nasty, dirty devils in West Virginia had drug our sister up in the mountains and had tortured our sister and sodomized our sister and scrawled excrement on her body and urinated on our sister in the mountains. It was John Kimmins Shabazz who received me and worked with me and fought in a state that's 99% white and rallied that Black population and backed down the old racist no good mayor and backed down a whole group of Uncle Tom preachers as we won a major victory and put them crackers behind bars who had been raping our, abusing our people. And so I say that to say, and on the October 1st day of action, he's organized 2 days of action, April 23rd and June 25th. Now he's got a big event, a big human rights cultural expo. Before I answer your question, brother, tell us where that your event is and drop that to let them know how cold you are on the organized.
Well, what we put together is Hip Hop for Human Rights, National International Day of Action 3. Can you hear me well, brother?
Just speak up. You got to speak up on these phones.
Okay. What we put together, when I say we, us and the Black Unity Coalition, or the West Virginia Black Unity Coalition, which includes myself and Sister LaWanna Logan, and we put together Hip Hop for Human Rights, National International Day of Action 3, and we was able to get the amphitheater downtown for the first time. I never thought we'd be able to get it, but we did get it, and thanks to Sister LaWanna's work over in Fairmont, which is her hometown, which is both of our hometowns, we are now being able to put the kind of pressure on Morgantown, where we got the amphitheater, downtown Morgantown, on the day of a homecoming game. And we was able to secure it through Morgantown's new black city manager, who by the name is a brother named Terrence Moore. And up front on that, we are working now to be able to secure the details. We'd like to be able to bring Jasiri X out of Pittsburgh and Brother Fourth Disciple out of Steubenville, Ohio, which are regional acts. We do have some local acts. We want to focus on fracking and natural gas drilling here in the area, which has become a problem and contaminates the air and water here in this area, or in this region. And we look to be able to do a collaboration with Brother Jasiri X, because he's going to be doing a video shoot in Pittsburgh this Thursday called Poison. Him and Paradise Gray, they do something in Pittsburgh called One Hood. So we're actually trying to branch out with the Black Unity Coalition, or the West Virginia Black Unity Coalition, and connect with the states to West Virginia to up that population, meaning that it's not just blacks in West Virginia, but it's blacks in West Virginia and those states that are connected to West Virginia. It's a regional thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's about as much. I could say some other things, but we're working on some details. But I don't want to spit too much on that, right? But let me say this.
Now, I had him say that for a reason, because John Kimmett Shabazz and the Black Unity Coalition and our dear sister LaWanna Logan, they are members of this United Front, which is worldwide and universal. They are members of it, but they have their own organization, the Black Unity Coalition. John Kimmett Shabazz, he is of a Moor, and our sister LaWanna Logan and her peoples is up out the church. Yet we are all working together in a united front. Now, the work he just described, and what he just described he's doing for the Day of Action, if anybody that's listening say that that's a worthless work, or that is not worth his time for a black man in a state that's 99% white, for this black man to be doing amongst our people down there that's not worth doing, then I say you're going to have to see the psychologist and the psychiatrist that I'm about to talk about, because there is no hope for you. And there's no life for you, and you've lost faith in the movement, and you probably lost faith in yourself a long time ago. And what we're here to tell you is that this is the broadcast of Imani, of faith. But we have not lost faith in the original people. We have not lost faith that black people can come together. And we do believe that as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And as we were a mighty and united nation in the beginning, we can be that in the end. We do not agree with Kant and Dewey that we will be niggers for life. We may be niggers with an attitude temporarily, but we ain't going to be niggers for life. Let's go to the next caller.
Yes, sir, Brother Chairman. This is a question that's from the email. They want to know this.
Hold one second. I did miss
yes,
a point.
Sir.
I want to say, seriously, Brother John, I will help you. And I want to be honest on this phone line. We do not make a mockery of mental illness conditions in the black nation.
Brother,
Brother, can I interject here for a second, brother? Because I wanted to ask you about that. Because in my studies, I found that mental health, blacks that have mental health, are more susceptible to hate crimes and so forth, and getting beat up, and the police don't want to do nothing about it.
And they're often issued, and you are so right.
Now what I'm saying,
sometimes the enemy turns on the sister that have been obviously, with clear evidence, have been raped, and they will turn and blame it on the sister and say that she had mental issues or she was abused by her father or her uncle, which may be the case, but it's not an excuse to abandon the victim in those crimes. Many of these prosecutors who do in some of these cases. Now, here's a short answer, Brother John, and I'll get back to you. For that person that you may need, who may need help, of course, all of that's confidential. We respect the confidentiality of anybody that may need help. I have a psychologist that works with the United Front, and he's also an organizer. His name is Dr. Millier. And Dr. Millier and I haven't been talking about it because I don't like talking about a lot of things that are not ready to be revealed. So we have been working in the background on a National Ministry of Mental Health. Pardon me. A National Ministry of Health. But under the National Ministry of Health, a Department of Mental Health Services, so that our people who need psychologists and psychiatrists, and they are not given, have other options than people who don't necessarily have our best interests at heart and don't even know our condition truly, and certainly cannot deal with any type of post-traumatic slavery stress syndrome that may be at the root of your bipolar condition, the root of your depression, the root of your anxiety, the root of your paranoid schizophrenia. We may have something to put on you that may get your mind right. Not playing at all, seriously. We need does the white man go to black psychologists or black psychiatrists? You see the white man coming to the black psychologist or the black psychiatrist, then you shouldn't be going to the white one. And so here, brother, I have a direct referral for you. You can email me at shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com, and that person that needs help can get help. But
yes,
we're working on a model where this is something sophisticated, but that some organizers that are with us can have access to certain resources that we have located that will give us capacity to be able to give better mental health services in our community and employ ourselves and help our people and employ ourselves. We have found something that I don't even want to go into on this phone line, but we're working on something. Everybody not into what I'm talking about, but some people know what I'm talking about. And so you just email me, brother, and we'll talk further.
Yes, sir.
So
I definitely know
that we take mental, but my point to the broader audience is that we take mental health services seriously. We know some of our brothers and sisters are suffering. They need not to be made a mockery of. We need to help them. And every organization in the black movement certainly needs it. And so it's another subject that we can address further, but we're doing our part to address it. We've listened to the people and we recognize it, and we have some experts in the United Front that are bringing us some help. We want to work with Dr. James McIntosh. We want to see if we can strike up a relationship with the National Black Psychologist and the National Black Psychiatrist Association, and to see if we could link up with Dr. Francis Kress Welson and others and see whether we could put on future conferences and future seminars and future online and other confidential ways that our people can get help from mental health specialists that really love our people and not the goddamn devil. And so stay tuned. And if you're interested in this kind of work, know somebody that would like to fit into this framework, you can email me at shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com. I'll take the next question. Good luck to the Black Unity Coalition for the Day of Action, October 1st, but that's Morgantown, right?
Yes,
Morgantown,
sir.
West Virginia. It's going to be strong. We're in over 41 cities. 41 cities. It should be 100 if you're listening to me. Let's go to the next question.
Okay, this question is an emailed question. It comes out of the Washington Examiner. They ask you, why do you, this is a sarcastic question, but you can answer, why does Malik Zulu Shabazz get a pass on racism?
Malik Zulu Shabazz does not get a pass on racism. He does not have any racism to get a pass on. But if he did, which he doesn't teach racism or practice racism, but even if he did, certainly he ain't got no pass on it. When has white society and the white press or the Washington Examiner given me a pass? I have been lied on. I have been slandered. I've had my statements constantly taken out of context. I have been totally distorted. I've made me seem like a wild-eyed crazy man when I'm giving you nothing but common sense and intelligence. You can feel the spirit of love that I have for our people. I'm not lying to you. You can come on the air, black or white, and question me. I mean, let's be honest. The white man is listening here, too, on the line.
That's right.
And I'm being as honest with him as I'm being as honest with you. Now, what you have encountered, see, the Washington Examiner is a white-owned newspaper. That's certainly another paper that have not given me a pass. They always kicking my ass. But why? When I have done nothing but travel the length and breadth of this nation to help my people. When I have done nothing but try to heal the wounds of slavery, suffering, and death, and Jim Crow, and discrimination, and police brutality, and lack of jobs and resources, and the influx of biological warfare on our people, and that they still will slander somebody that comes to help our people. And then I'm to be condemned and criticized if I'm even angry. The white man wants to oppress you and then tell you how to act when you're oppressed. Then he wants to tell you what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and how to adjust to your oppression. And I'm crying out against that and organizing a movement against that slave, childlike mentality and telling us that we're going to stand up like men. And what the white man wants for his people, we want for ours. The control and power and dominance that he wants for his people, we want for ours. He wants the top in the nations of the earth, we want that for ours. He wants to be and is the master of his own destiny. We want that for ours. So in that sense, I'm just like Marcus Garvey. Europe for the European, Asia for the Asian, and Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. I would say, like the Panthers say, I might say, well, I wouldn't even say might. I would say power to the people. Power for black people, power for brown people, power for yellow people, and power for white people. But I'm afraid that if I say power for white people, I will validate white power, which has been kicking my ass.
Exactly.
For the last 400 years. White power means white guns, white bullets, white jails, white slave ships.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I haven't got it. Is that racism? I mean, is that racism? Racism means prejudice plus power. Where do I control the institutions in America? Where do I control the military, the economy, the educational system, the budgets in America? What systems do I control that if I was against white people, I could penalize white people? the white man has all the power. The white man has all the cards, the whole deck of cards in his hand. He has all of the, he has all of the deck, except that all of the cards in the deck, except the ace of spades. And he's the real joker. It appears that he has everything, but we have God on our side. And so, no, I want you to be clear. Don't ever let anybody believe it, and don't you believe what you see on the damn internet about Malik Zulu Shabazz. I have been lied on. I've been lied on like my father was lied on. And I'm giving you a break. Khalid Muhammad would have been 10 times harder on you. And so you are complaining about me being a racist when I'm not half as hard as you on you as the man that came before me. And that is, and still hard on you, being half as hard on you as him, and still harder on this devil than anybody else out there standing in the wilderness of the north of America. I can say that right now in the year 2011. But I can say that my mission and my job, as we move on to the next question, is to work to raise and to organize black people and to bring unity amongst our people, to bring organizing, healing, and salvation in a program of action. That's why we're sending 3 tons and 6,000 pounds of clothing, shoe supplies to Africa and to our family in Senegal. Is that racism? That's why we have those in the new Black Panther Party that have moved from France into Senegal that are receiving our goods and distributing them to the Mouri, the Tijani, and the Lion brothers and sisters, all of them in unity. That's why we're sending goods to Senegal. Just like you want to send goods and support Israel, we want to support Africa. Just like Israel is your, for the Caucasian Jews that are listening, just like Israel, and you wanted for to support your promised land, as you call it, another debate that we need to get seriously into. But we want to support our promised land, our motherland in Africa, and going to do it, and going to show you that we are not dead to the whites that are listening. We're going to show you that this group of black people is not begging for your welfare. We're not begging for your Section 8. We're not begging to be accepted by you. We are going to stand up like men and women and show you we can do something for ourselves and fill these containers up and ship them to Africa. And then do it again. And show you that we are not going to lay around America like Lazarus at the foot of the gate of the rich man begging for some crumbs that you would throw us. We know who we are in the scripture, and you know who we are too. You know that we are the ones that you have hit a blow in the head of the east gate and carried on a westerly journey and buried us in the northwest corner. You know that you are the ruffians that have roughed our people up, and that we are that Hiram that is written of in the book. You know that we are the real chosen people of God, the only ones that have actually been in the land that is not our own for over 400 years. You know who you're dealing with. It is us that have not accepted that reality. And so we are just a sign. Well, the work that we are doing here right now, dear brothers and sisters, is a sign of who we are. It's a sign of who we are. If we are the chosen people of God, as many of you say, then there's got to be a sign manifest in the earth. And you've got to stop looking back. You've got to stop ancestor worshiping to the point that you can't look backwards, that you've got to be what they embodied now. Holler out Huey Newton and Harriet Tubman Clinton and Angela Davis and hollering about what the most honorable Elijah Muhammad did is not going to cut it. He stood up and did his work in his time, and you got to do yours in your time. You ain't going to get off on Chili's. You're not going to get away with it. Elijah Muhammad couldn't Chili's for what Marcus Garvey and Noble Drew Ali had done before him. He couldn't get on that train and run from them hypocrites and holler out on the train at Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali. He couldn't holler out the name of his teacher and his savior, Master Farad Muhammad. He couldn't holler out about what Master Farad Muhammad did during his years in America. He had to stand up and do it on his time, on his own. What's the difference between you and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad? What is the difference between you and Minister Louis Farrakhan? What is the difference between you and Minister Malcolm X? What is the difference between you and Harriet Tubman and Fannie Lou Hamer and Hatshepsut? Akhenaten and King Khafre and Khufu and Shabaka. What is the real difference, God? You say you God, but do you really believe it? Because if you say you God and that's the truth, then all other titles after that should be easy to manifest. And so we are not just to look back and talk about what Khalid Muhammad, the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad did. May Allah be pleased with him. We are not just to look back at what Minister Farrakhan has done and be cheerleaders in the year 2011. This is the time where real men and real women take history and make history and stop playing and jiving around with this thing. It's not enough just to look up to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Yes, you are with all of us. And many of us look up to him and look up to the example that has been set over the many years and are thankful for the organizing and for the word of truth that he has given us. But to look up to him alone and keep looking up, you will get ran over by a car in the street, standing in the side in the crosswalk looking up and not looking what's around you right in front of your eyes. And seeing the work that you could do like the man you're looking up to that is right in front of your face. And as he has taught the millions and the multitudes, there are little multitudes right in front of your face that you need to be thinking about how to organize to teach them. It is not enough just to look up to your big brother. I love you all, man. I thank you. I honor you. It is not enough just to look up to the example that your big brother, Malik Zulu Shabazz, has set. You must also go out and do that same kind of fierce organizing in the areas where you are, with the people where you are, confronting the enemies where you are, and building to save our people where you are. And I guess that's my answer to, I'm not a racist. I'm trying to organize to help black people, and I'm trying to help black people understand that leadership is not a privilege, that leadership is the right to serve and to help our people is the divine right and the divine duty of all of us, especially the conscious or the 5% or those who are divinely called. Many are called, but few are chosen, and those who are listening, you are the chosen ones. You have this message resonates with you. You on this radio line for a reason. And so the United Front, the Day of Action, the Tuba Express, the Black Farmers Project, and every ministry that we develop in the men's ministry, the women's ministry, the youth ministry, the Ministry of Economics, the Ministry of Education, all of these ministries are being developed so that new leaders can rise forth and we can build a movement and a nation within a nation, and stop talking liberation, and you should be able to see it as we walk it right now in front of our very eyes and live it out in real time. It won't be easy, but it is worth it. Divine work is going on right now. I'll take another question.
Caller, 614-202, you're on the air with the National Chairman, New Black Panther Party. Give us your question, please.
Peace, family. This is Brother Insight, man. Malik Zulu Shabazz, peace and blessings to you, brother. He was on my show a couple months ago, man. I had to call and show my support and love to you, man. We here in Columbus, and we can't wait for you to get here, man, to put the heat on that boy, Rod Parsley, man. I can't wait for that. But I want to just get a question in real quick, man. I think you tapped into something, man, about us revering our past leaders and our past greats, and that's a beautiful thing. I think we should do that. We should always honor them and respect them for the path and the foundation that they laid for us to be able to continue their works. But I think we're doing them a bigger disservice by continuously talking about them but not having any action. And we need to get like that Sankofa bird and look back at what they've done for us, but also continue to move forward and take the lessons that they taught us to try and make some true change. So my question to you tonight is, Mr. Shabazz, what can we do as the young people? Because I know what I'm trying to do here. We're about to open our own home school for our babies. We can't keep sending our children into the hands of the oppressor and expect our children to help, you know, lead us when it comes our time to sit down. So what, in your opinion, do you think is the number one thing we need to tackle to try and help this generation that's coming up right now?
What I think we need to do, dear brother, is do exactly what you're talking about right now. And if you're talking about educating our youth, our children, and homeschooling and working in this field of education, then you're the kind of man I want to meet with. When I come to Columbus, Ohio on September the 25th, Sunday, to debate the evangelist Rod Parsley in Columbus. And certainly us uniting and pooling our resources. And that gets specific. See, we've talked rhetoric for years, pool our resources. We say we must do something for ourselves, but those terms have not been defined up until now. Now, see, what I can do with you, dear brother, is I can come to see in Columbus to see how I can support you. And maybe I could tap you in to other educators that I know. And maybe you could be a part of receiving and even helping to build a curriculum that we're trying to build here so that when you're having your home school with those youth, you can go online to our websites and other websites and just play and click into the curriculum and the lecture that is being given by Dr. Leonard Jeffries, being given by Dr. Wesley Muhammad, being given by Dr. Molesi Asante, the lecture that's being given by Dr. Francis Kress Welsh. But guess what? Because I'm friends with these people, we're working on getting videos and other lessons that are appropriate and just geared towards what? The first grader, the second grader, the sixth grader. And hell, by the time you get to seventh grade, you need to stop right there because, you know, the literacy it takes to be a seventh grader today is probably equivalent to most adults.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, absolutely. You can give an adult a seventh-grade history text most of the time, and that's going to stump them. And most parents can bear witness that's trying to help their children through homework if you have not given up trying to help your children through their homework. What I'm saying, dear brother, is that, look, what we can, you should do what you're doing, and I will give you all the advice I can, and I can link up with you and plug you into something. The first thing I want you to do, also, I want you to meet me at this debate. For everybody that's listening, this debate with Rod Parsley is going to be at Ohio State University on September the 25th, Sunday. It's being produced by Dr. Marisalem Milliere, that great organizer and doctor of psychology. from Columbus, Ohio, and he is a part of the United Front and other strong organizing efforts. And he is his own radio show, and he's an awesome brother. And he will be my debate co-part as we take on Rod Parsley and some of his top ministers at Ohio State University on the subject of racism and religion. It's going to be a theological showdown and throwdown in Columbus. And it will be webcast on dayofactionmovement.org. And so I want everybody to tune in. Tune in. What is that? Who is that event being co-sponsored by? It's being co-sponsored by our National Ministry of Theology that has stated that we can't ignore the theological question. And can't ignore the fact that our people are being drugged into hell by wolves in sheep's clothing in the name of God and in the name of theology and in the name of Jesus, and we have not provided a sufficient alternative theology to this theology that is being pulled over on our people, which is really white supremacy and being taught to our people by Satan. All of that's another subject that I didn't really come to deal with tonight. But the debate is going down. I'm looking to tear this devil up on September 25th with the truth and the word of God, with his Bible, the King James Bible, and an arsenal of facts and history. I better get off this phone so I can prepare. But I want to meet you, young brother. You're much more important to me than old Rod Parsley. And I want to meet you so that we can see how that I can connect you to those that I'm connected with in Columbus. And then I want you to tune in on October the 8th, because on October the 8th in Philadelphia at Temple University, we are having a national conference on education and the mixed education of our youth. I repeat, on October 8th at Temple University, there will be a national conference on black education and the miseducation of our youth at Temple University. At this town hall meeting, strike that, it will be a town hall meeting. We've shortened it from 4 to 8 p.m. at Philadelphia at Temple University. And on the panel will be Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, I, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, will be on the program, and we're waiting on the confirmation of several other scholars and educators. And this will be webcast, brother, all over the nation.
Okay, and I'm going to be there, brother.
I want you to, webcast it or be there, because this is the day before Minister Farrakhan gives his speech on the 16th anniversary of the Million Man March. This is right nearby. At Temple University, and I will be at that speech. And all of those who you are listening, if you're coming to Philadelphia, be there to support our chief elder and the leader of the Nation of Islam in Philadelphia on October the 9th.
Can I say this real quick, Brother Shabazz? I don't know when you're going to be in Columbus, but the 24th at the King Arts Complex, I know where the debate was originally supposed to take place, we're launching that's going to be the launch for our school. We got Brother Marcus Klein from Chicago, the writer, an editor, and the creator of Frontline Magazine from Chicago. He has the curriculum that we're using. And I'm telling everybody, go Google, YouTube his brother, Freedom Home Academy. He's going to be doing a lecture and getting us started, and we're going to be, taking applications from parents and their children. So I don't know if you're going to be in Columbus that Saturday evening from 3 to 6, is that lecture that he's going to drop down and bring some of his students in to show the parents how he teaches and how the curriculum works itself. So we would be honored if you could come and stop by and say hey to the people and kind of help us get started. But that's going to be our first event, and then the school should be opening early spring next year. So if you're going to be in Columbus, I got your number.
Brother,
we can link.
You know what I'll do? I'll tell you what. You said to what time does it end?
It's going to be from 3 to 6 that Saturday at the King Arts Complex. That's in over
so
Mount
you
Vernon.
Inbox me again. Inbox me on Facebook, and I'm going to try to be in Columbus that Saturday, and I'm going to come by your event.
Okay.
I want to come by your event because you told me about it, and I want to support what you're doing. I take education seriously. It's been a part of my life since I was young, and I know quite a bit about it. I'd like to see your operation.
Right.
Your operation and your administration and your curriculum, certainly.
Right.
And then there are further things we can do, maybe in the future.
Absolutely.
We can collaborate.
That's what I'm
about. Please, and email me, and then I'll give you a text, and we can talk this through.
Okay, I'm moving right now.
I respect the work that you're doing, brother, and I want to promote it.
Man, I respect you as well.
Making your work known to a wider audience.
Absolutely.
That's what I got to do, even if it's getting you back on this show. You make sure you email me, and let's get you back on this show, because we got a matter of fact, Kirk, can you be in Philly on October 8th?
I can't promise that, but I'm going to try my best because I'm going back and forth to Chicago now to get the school up and running. But it's a strong possibility I'll be able to be in Philly.
All right, well, then I'll meet with you and we'll take it further. But I support what you're doing, okay?
And I thank you again, man, for doing our show, like I said 2 months ago, about America on the Addicted to Violence. We knew that answer, but we wanted you to articulate it for our listeners, and you did a great job. So thank you, sir. And I'm going to get off the line, man, and let any other brothers and sisters get in, man, and keep doing what you're doing, brother.
All right. Thanks. Send me the link from that show, too. I want to
see I'm on it right now.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to working. Again, a sign of hope, brothers and sisters. When you hear young brothers talking about they opening up schools for our people, don't believe that what you see in the media and the bad stories they tell about black youth and black men. This is where you hear the good news. Take the next caller.
Okay, caller 256-225. You're on the air with the National Chairman, New Black Panther Party. Give us your question, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is dear brother Anwar Amir, Representative Minister Park. How my dear brother's doing?
Doing fine, brother Anwar.
Yes, sir. I'm a local resident in Anniston, Alabama, and my question is really I want a good answer, because the enemy, as Minister Farrakhan had said, they will use their trick and their wicked plan against our youth. Now, in my city, there's race tension. And what I mean by that, it seems like it's almost the 60s or the early 50s are coming back. Because I read this morning in what they call the Anniston Star, the local newspaper, they wanted to snitch out the gangs because of a police being killed just the other week. But before that, there was a brother slain, and they said nothing about it. Okay? And now the police department wants to go into the community and find these gangs and assault the youth of our people. So I wanted to ask, brother, what is it can I do? Because there's not many grassroots in my area. There are people trying to do things because there have been mass murders in the last couple of weeks. I mean, people killing off the chain. And my question is, what can I do I'm right out of about 40 minutes away from Birmingham, but I'm in Anniston, Alabama.
What you can do right now, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
First thing, what you have to do is, it's good that you're conscious of the problem and you're asking, what can I do?
That's right.
Number two is, you have to recognize that this is a serious problem.
Right.
It's so serious that you will have to be comfortable in understanding that any progress you make, even if it appears to be small, helps in the overall problem.
That's right.
See what I mean?
As we
teach it, each one teach one.
Right.
I would say, brother, when you see all that killing and violence going on, I can't tell you right now that I have a lot of answers for Birmingham. I know some in the Nation of Islam in Birmingham.
Yes, sir, that's
where
I've been.
Yeah, I don't have a lot. Let me just tell you what I have to offer. I don't want to just jive you. I don't have a lot of allies in the city of Birmingham right now that could do a big, big work. But your spirit leads me to believe that I could work with you to make some things happen in that area.
That's right.
That I could plug you into some people that I know.
That's
and
right.
We could plan some things that could bring out your desire to help our people. I could help you do that on a bigger level.
That's right. That's right. That's right, dear brother.
As you start right now, trying to reach one brother you can mentor, any in your area you can work with, do that right now. Because anybody, black youth needs mentors and fathers and men that will not prey upon them.
That's right.
And then you can have a discussion with me how we can do a work in a united front amongst black men and amongst black people in that area. And you know, I might come visit you.
That'd be wonderful, brother. I was going to tell you, I have set up now a committee that's called Brothers Don't Kill Brothers. It's on Twitter, Brothers Don't Kill Brothers. And that's a trending we put on Twitter, and that is a committee I have put upon some brothers that want to really stop the violence, and we have come together and we meet every week. So you know, I am inspired by the Day of Action, the Millions More Movement, and everything that I really think can help us. And like you said, your aid would be a very good asset to what we will try and make progress in our city, dear brother.
Well, let me say this, comrade, and my dear brother. Right now, you should email me, please. Because
yes, sir.
I believe that you could do something in unity with us for the Day of Action, October 1st.
Yes, sir.
Even if it's just two youth, brother, that you will sit down, or five that you will sit down at the local library and tell them, if you just sit them down and tell them what have happened to our people and how God have come to help us, I would love to list your city or your county on the list of cities for the Day of Action and start a relationship with you.
That's right.
We go after our people in unity. You email me at shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com, Brother Anwar.
Yes, sir. I
take over the relationship, and you join in with this, brother, and then we will help you, and we can work together.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Only a minute left. Please email me. Let's see if we can work an agreement out.
Okay. I sure will. I will email you, dear brother.
Work something out, and then what you're doing, you know, there are ways that I would like to expose it to a wider audience.
Wow.
We need more groups like what you got. Let's make it known, man. Anything we got, brother, is yours. If you want to help, our websites are your websites. That's what we're trying to say here. Now, look, I hate to run so quick, but email me. I'm coming back on the air, everybody that's listening, on Wednesday night to do part two of this lecture. Who we are, where we are, and where we're going as a nation, as a people, as a movement, as an organization, as a chairman, as a united front, as a Black Panther Party, even as a black conscious, black nationalist movement, black Muslim movement, Hebrew movement. Where are we going? Where are we headed? I want to open up the lines again on Wednesday. I just want to say right now, until Wednesday, fight hard. If you're in the Day of Action and Unity movement and you got something big or strong, you know, there's going to be a 1,000-man-woman march for black youth in Jacksonville. So push hard in Jacksonville. In Philadelphia, there's going to be a special meeting targeting the destruction of black youth in Philadelphia, ran by Minister King, Samir Shabazz, and others, Sister Denise and others, on October 1st. I'll be at Salem Methodist Church in Harlem with Dr. Leonard Jeffries and presidential candidates from Senegal and other black youth and other conscious rappers and black leaders at Salem Methodist Church for a major forum called the Black World and the Black Leadership and the Black Movement. Where are we headed? And so tune in to our website, dayofactionmovement.org, and Black United Black Front, unitedblackfront.org, and www.newblackpanther.com. Stay tuned. I'll see you next Wednesday night. Is the time up? I guess the time is up.